talking, cause you know we got some problems. So tune on in the way we talk and how to solve them. We may laugh, we may learn, we might be your games, Miss and P.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Good. Thanks for coming on.
Sure.
So you were just on a trip. Where were you guys?
We're actually still in Florida.
Oh, cool.
We get back to DC Friday night.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a good preseason trip.
It is. It's our second Florida preseason trip. So.
Wow. Preseason's long for you guys.
Yes. Very long.
How has it been going so far?
Really well. Obviously we've got a lot of new pieces, almost more so on the staff side really than even the players, but good bit of new players, younger players. So it's been honestly probably the best preseason I've been a part of in terms of structure, professionalism, just like the thought process behind it. I'm really honestly quite impressed by the younger players' ability to, I think the staff is doing a really good job of making it like pretty plain and simple for everyone, but their ability to really like latch on already to the principles of play and have a good understanding. I think we got a good collection of players and staff as a whole.
That's awesome. It sounds like you guys have a great squad for the year. How would you describe the team like this season, if you could put it in a few words?
In the words of Mark Parsons, he would, want our team to be described as, a fast, lethal attacking team. Obviously, as a defender, I'm like, well, what about us?
Words of Amber Brooks?
Yeah. So, I think though, even like applying that as a defender, I think for us, defensively being on the front foot, like something that's big, especially in NWSL games, because teams are pretty dang lethal and the counterattack is what we refer to as rest defense, right? So like having as a defender, I think a lot of times it's like, oh, well, you're not maybe doing as much running and whatnot, but like mentally we are probably more in tuned, along with the goalkeeper, right, with everything, organizing, constantly shifting left, right, up, back. And so there's been a few players that have made the transition from forward or midfield to defense. I'm like, wow, it's actually it's a lot harder and more running than I give you guys credit for. So
that's a really hard transition.
Yeah.
Do you have any advice for someone who's going from forward to defense?
I think anytime the coach is like having that conversation, I think first being like receptive to it in the sense that your coach isn't going to set you up to fail, right? Like they're not converting you. Yes, there are instances where it's like desperation mode. We have 8 billion injuries and like, you're the only one who could remotely play there. But I think at least with our team, the conversions, like they're well thought out. The players don't see the short-term return in it or I don't really, but they're thinking long term. And so I think once they're bought in, just kind of trusting that process and thinking like, hey, like, and it helps when there's some continuity. I think that's where there's some stress is like, most NWSL teams, like, or at least in my time, like we went through, I don't think I've ever had a coach longer than, I think I've returned with the same coach, but that coach never made it through the second season. So I think that's where there's some hesitation for players to be like, well, yeah, this coach wants to convert me to defense. I'm kind of like on the fence, like, but I'll do it. But then, what happens if in 6 months he loses his job, we have a new coach and I'm like now in between positions and what do they see me at? So I think when a player feels like they're truly being invested in the new position, then it's like, okay, like I'll do this. I'll go through the rough patches, like the adjustment. But they want to like feel like, hey, like what's your vision for this? This isn't just like a last ditch, like throwing you back there, good luck type of thing.
There's so much more that goes into it than I thought. I didn't even think about the switching of coaches.
Yeah. I mean, at least like in my, I converted to center back from the six, like in midway through like 2017. And then even since then, in the past couple of years, it's like, oh, like, would we play you at the six some games or center back? And like, for me, I was all about converting, but that was actually an interim coach's idea. And then we had a new coach the following season. And I remember being like, okay, like, am I a center back? Am I a six? Like, I have, you know, pros and cons to each. Like, I'm not really like, oh, I really want to be this or that. Like, I care more that, like, you're committed to investing in me and helping me get better at this position. And it's not, I think the worst thing for a player is when you're constantly flip-flopped. Like, and I haven't had to deal with too much of that, but, you know, I do know some player, you know, like take Christy Mewis, for example, right? Like, she was constantly like, some people saw her as a left back, attacking mid, a defensive mid, even on the wing. And it was like, remember, like, in being friends with her, she's like, I don't care. It's like, it's positive to be versatile, but like, I want like a coach to like truly work with me, coach me, invest in me so that I can be good at this position and not just average at a bunch of positions.
Yeah, that's so true. I actually dealt with that in college too. Like, I felt like I never really knew what position I was.
Yeah.
Like, cause I played center back my whole life and then I ended up playing forward and outside mid and sometimes center mid. So I totally understand that. But in terms of like you talking about just playing as a defensive player now, like, what does your coach look for in you as a defensive mm-hmm. player? Like, what is a great defender? Like, what are the attributes of a great defender in the NWSL?
Well, I think something that I've also appreciated about Mark Parsons so far is the first thing he did, actually before we even started preseason, either like virtually or for me, I stayed in market. So I had a one-on-one, you know, in person with him, and he asked all of us to come to that meeting, like with our top qualities, like soccer qualities. And then as well, our top, he'd call them like teammate qualities or off the field. And, you know, you listed some and he kind of, you know, he was somewhat listening to hear what you thought, but he also had his own qualities in mind. And then you kind of came to an agreement of like, okay, these are like, say your top three. And though like his expectation and his ask for training and then certainly the games is that you bring those three qualities to each game. And if you do that, like, we stand a good chance of, say, winning. So obviously, we want to get better at certain things. Like, we want to add more and more qualities to that. But like, the three things that make you, you. And for me, mine were pretty simple. Like, we agreed upon them pretty quickly. Mine first one was like winning tackles, like getting stuck in, playing on the front foot. My second one was winning headers. And my third one was my passing, more specifically, like my long range passing. So switching the point, or even, you know, mid-range passing, splitting passes from the back into midfield or an attacking mid. And so, you know, I work really well in like bullet point form. And so for me, I really appreciated that because, you know, I, in general, like, yeah, like Amber, you're strong and, you know, like you're good in the air and whatnot, but to really have it down to those three things, like heading into each game, hey, if I take care of those three things as much as I can, then I'm probably doing decently well, and that's what I need to bring to the Spirit to hopefully have us win some games. He really is adamant that everyone knows what their specific qualities are, and both on and then off the field, we had to provide some context for him there too.
I feel like that's such a good idea in any career, in any profession. Mm-hmm. It's bullet pointed out, and you know, like, this is what I have to do to bring success to the position. So that's yeah. so smart. I feel like every team should do that.
Yeah. And then it's true, like when things inevitably go wrong and like you're having a bad game or just like the other team's just dominating, it's like, instead of looking to the sideline and being like, help, like, what do I do? Like, you can just look to yourself and be like, okay, like, win my next tackle, win my next header, connect my next pass. And so it just really simplifies and makes it a little bit more like, you know, when craziness is happening, there's 20,000 fans and you need to sort things out. I think it makes it a lot easier to do that yourself.
That must have felt good too, for you to sit down and present what you thought were your three best attributes. And then for your coach to also see those as three mm-hmm. of your best attributes, or to have like mostly agreement on those things, because yeah. I can imagine there were scenarios where a player is not feeling seen and a coach is not seeing what a player thinks they bring to the table and vice versa. So that's just such a, it's a really good yeah. way to communicate yeah. between coach and player. I love that.
Yeah, no, it was really, yeah, like it really just simplified things. And again, I think it was easier for me to probably identify them because, like, I'm a veteran. I've played a lot. You know, I'm sure for some of the younger players, it's like, you know, they've maybe never even played an NWSL game. So, like, I don't know what I contribute at this level. And I think, too, like, he made a really good point of saying, like, we don't need 12 people with the same three qualities. Like, you know, I obviously have three very different qualities in Trinity Rodman, you know, but it's like putting our qualities together that is ultimately what makes a good team. So I think, it was just a really good process to go through, like simple, but also like, yeah, this is a little like you said, more teams should be, how am I 10 years into this league and I've never had remotely a similar conversation or process that I've gone through. It's not exactly like this mind-blowing like coaching technique. It's just like, hey,
sometimes like, stuff, like the really obvious stuff is like the hardest to do, you know, or to figure it out. What was your, you said he also did three things about you as a teammate or off.
Yeah.
What were your
So mine were kind of like authentically myself was one of them. So I think also along with that, like the ability to uphold standards and like exemplify them. So that's another thing, like we're in the process of building our culture and setting our team standards. And, you know, again, being a vet, I kind of have the professional habits and routine down. So I think exemplifying that and getting some younger players on board and kind of helping them through that process. Authentically myself is kind of like, honestly, like I'm brutally honest probably. So I'm one of the players. He's like every team, every successful team that I've been on has had one to three players that, practice isn't going well. And you can be like, guys, this is shit. Like we need to do better. And isn't afraid of kind of speaking out in fear of like not being liked or losing friends. And, I am pretty outwardly spoken person, especially when it comes to like we're competing and our aim is to win games and get better. So I think he was pretty happy to hear that, you know, I was one of those people that like can kind of handle that responsibility, I guess I would say. I would say like also kind of like my loyalty or I will, you know, stand up for teammates, I'll go to war for them. Like, you know, if I feel that there's mutual respect and they care for me. And, you know, we're on this mission together. I will pretty much run through a brick wall for anyone.
It sounds like the best type of leader. One of the best types.
It's kind of like without me being, obviously we have a great, great captains, you know, leaders like on this team that have been with the club for a while. So, you know, I've had that leadership role of like, I'm a captain, right? Like, and now I'm at the point where it's like, hey, like, you know, I'm newer to the club, but like inevitably, like those leadership qualities are going to come out. I don't need the title or, you know, someone saying you're a leader to like act that way.
I know at UNC you were a captain and you think your leadership technique has changed through the years or have you always had those standards?
I think I've always had them. Like even, I mean, my mom like jokes, like my first year of soccer, I was 4 and I like made a girl on my team like cry because I was like, Avery, you suck. Come on. Like you're not trying hard enough. Like, you know, like, so I think I've always kind of had this mentality of like, if you're going to do something, you might as well do it to the best of your ability. And sometimes like it's, you know, you're having a bad or it's not going to be good. Like I'm not like great at singing or like Matt, you know, like my best of my ability for that might have been like say like a B or something, but like in areas that you can excel at, like the expectation was that you're going to put in your best effort and you know, do as best as you can. So I think I've always kind of had those high expectations. I think my parents set them for me, and then I think by the time I was in high school I kind of like took it over myself. And then in college, like my mom would call me and she'd be like, why aren't you out like having fun? And I'm like, I've got a paper or like I've got a test. And she's like, it's okay, like you don't have to get a 4.0 in college, like you're gonna be okay. And I was like, no, like if I'm capable of getting 100 on this test, like I want to get 100. So yeah, definitely started with my parents. My dad was like, I came home with like a B+ on like a progress report, like not even like a final grade. And he was like, I expect better than this. You're grounded. And I was like, what are you going to ground me from? I don't do anything other than play soccer. Like, and so, yeah, initially, my parents were kind of like set the standard, I guess you would say. And then I just kind of like took it in myself. And then since then have kind of just run with it. And I don't understand why anyone would do any job or any task without trying to give your best ability and do your best. So yeah, it's definitely, I think, you know, I've learned more. The professional game is way different than college. I think the hardest adjustment from college to the pro ranks was just, you know, like in college, like, you know, for the most part, you know, you're there for like 4 years, right? Like the coaches are committed to you. Like there's that sense of like team camaraderie. And at the professional level, like I learned, like it is a business. Like coaches have to win. Players are traded and cut. Like it just, that was pretty eye-opening. I think coming from like UNC, that has such a sense of family, and it's like brutal and cutthroat there. But like at the end of the day, like we all care, and you know, like and kind of learning that lesson at the pro level, like people say things, but at the end of the day, it's a business, and the business decisions are made, and they, you know, affect players sometimes in not so great ways.
Yeah. Did you know that you wanted to play pro when you were at UNC? Like, is that the culture there? Do all the players there, you know, like know they want to play pro?
I honestly probably, like for me, my first, like I call it like aha moment was, you know, probably like most of you, like watching the 99 World Cup, right? Like they won. There obviously wasn't a professional league that the following year, right? The WSA started, and I was like a season ticket holder to the Charge games, like, which it's funny because Mark Akorian, now our GM, was the head coach there. Like I was 9, 10, like going crazy at all those games. Followed the WPS pretty closely because I was good friends with Yael Averbush, and Sky Blue wasn't too far away. Their head coach at one point lived at my mom's house. Like, so kind of connections there. So I went into college knowing like, oh, like I want to play professionally. At that point, I think the WPS was still around, and then heading into my senior year, it folded. So I was like, okay, I still want to play professionally, but we're gonna have to go to Europe. So I headed into my senior year, with the mentality of like, oh, I kind of want to go play in Germany. Ashlyn and Allie were playing over there. Keelan, like some good players, had a good experience. So I took German 101 my senior fall, just in preparation. And then literally like the week I was signing with Bayern Munich, they were like, oh, the NWSL is going to start like next month. And I was like, oh, cool. But like, you know, there's no answers, like no idea of like, what is a draft? Like, what does that mean? Like, I don't get to pick my team, like just weird. So I was like, you know, I'm going to go experience Germany. If I hate it, I can always come back. But yeah, I think, you know, probably if you ask 75-80% of girls that are committing to UNC, like, do you want to play professional soccer? They'd say yes. And pretty early on, like, you know, I was part of the leadership council, I guess you could say. And I know now, I think it didn't quite start when I was there, but there's almost a group of, say, players who are involved with the youth national teams at Carolina, or that like Anson has identified, or who has expressed, the girls have expressed the interest of playing pro. And it's almost like a group that you're part of. So like there's, you know, reading books involved, there's extra work done, and you're also fast tracked now. So like I was, because of the timing of the NWSL seasons, right? Like ideally you're graduating in 3.5 years so that you can go into preseason. So since I wanted to go to Germany, I was like fast tracked. I had like 2 online courses to finish that spring when I was over in Germany. But now it's like, hey, identified, you want to go pro? Okay, we need to get you graduated in December after your final fall season so that you are free to go into preseason. Because if you're not able to join until May, like that's a huge disadvantage. So in that sense, you're kind of identified and you're put on track, like you're taking summer courses or extra overloading in one of the semesters so that you can get, so you can graduate early.
That's a great setup, like to not have to then debate, do I finish school mm-hmm. or will I come back? Because I feel yep. like it's probably really yep. difficult for a lot of people yeah. to make that decision. So that's really nice.
And it's a good way for them to free up scholarship money. And there's, so another thing too, is there's more girls that are graduating high school early, say at least a semester early, going in for a spring semester, which I see as a huge advantage, because instead of being like nervous day one, like of 120s, like you're in there in the spring and can kind of get used to it. But yeah, I mean, I remember, obviously I had told him and was like, oh, I want to go pro. And Anson's like, yeah, you're graduating early, right? Because I already gave your scholarship in the spring to someone else. And I was like, all right, well, yeah, this is happening because I'm not paying for school, you know, like, so yeah, there's, it's a, it works to almost their advantage that they can give out scholarship money to say an incoming freshman in January instead of, you know, so it's kind of to their advantage as well.
It's so cool that that is even a thing for women soccer players in college now, because when we played, like, no one we knew was going pro besides maybe one player, like Goody mm-hmm. Stang, Nikki yep. Stang, she was on our team.
Yeah.
But it's just so crazy and cool that that's like an option for players now. Yep. And that you do know you want to go pro, like, there are ways that you can move your schedule around, your classes, make sure you get all your credits done so you can graduate and still play. So, wow, it's just so cool to see, like,
yeah.
how far.
Well, yeah, and now girls are straight skipping college, right? Like, that's a realistic, like, we just signed a 15-year-old who, like, already, you know, 14, 15 was like, I don't want to go to college. Like, I just want to go straight pro. And so, yeah, like, that's still like, I'm still like processing that concept in my head. Like, it's crazy to me. But yeah, like the fact that, like you said, like, it was rare to have players that were going pro. Like, did we even have a, you know, why would you leave college early or not graduate or even like try and go pro when you're graduating with a good degree when every league had folded after 2 or 3 years? Like, you know, it was like crazy. It was like taking a gap year, I guess, is probably what most people perceived it as. And now it's like, oh, you can like straight skip college if you want. And, you know, remains to be seen, right? We'll see how someone ends up, you know, 10 years down the road that's done that. But, you know, the fact that you can, it's viable to like get paid in NWSL a decent amount of money, that parents are okay with their kids skipping college for now, is pretty crazy.
If it's giving them a good reason to skip college, then
yeah,
to say okay. Yep. But just switching gears, so talking mm-hmm. about non-soccer stuff, what yep. are your passions off the field? We know that you're in love with your dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who cannot be? My dog is
yeah
funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're you seem like a family person too.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a pretty boring person off the field. Honestly, most of my time is spent, I'm definitely one of those players that like leaves the facility and goes home, and like my mind's automatically into like, okay, what do I have to do to get ready to do this all over again tomorrow? So, I take like my recovery and all that pretty, probably a little, I don't know. I'm not gonna say too serious. Dawn might listen to this. She'd probably be happy about it, but no, I spend a lot of time. Yeah. Henley is my pride and joy. Like the best thing, especially like you come home after like a bad day at practice or like you lose a game and he doesn't know any better. And he's just like, yeah, I'm so happy to see you. And so, he changes my mood real quick. And he's just, yeah, he's got a great personality and he's super cute. He's super marketable. So that really helps things. And then, yeah, I'm pretty close to my family, I would say. My mom's like the prototypical soccer mom. She played on the men's team in college, which was pretty cool because they had just passed Title IX. So, and they didn't have a women's team, so they had to let her play. Where'd so she played at Ashland University. It's a small school in Ohio. My dad played in college as well at Le Moyne, another small school in like near Syracuse. And so, yeah, she's like, you know, the ultimate soccer mom. She like texted me the other day, I'm gonna be at 13 of your 14 home games. I was like, oh my gosh, okay, like
in the 14th game, that day's not gonna work.
Yeah, I know. And she's like, of course I'll be at your game. She's mostly in North Carolina now. Most of my family moved down there, of course, when I finished college, right? Like they were like, oh, you loved it so much, we're all gonna move to South a little bit. But yeah, I have 5 nieces and nephews, so that's been like really fun, like watching them grow up. The oldest is about to turn 8, which is crazy because I remember like being there at the hospital when she was born. And yeah, so I definitely like a pretty simple person, I think I would say, like simple pleasures. Definitely, I don't know if it's because I'm, you know, the NWSL is just so crazy that like you almost just need like your home to be very stable and just very simple. Cause yeah, when you're done practice, or you know, you're done whatever crazy news breaks that day, you just want to go back to a safe place and just have that support. So,
well, I feel like that also goes hand in hand with how you were saying, like, you take recovery seriously. Like, that's part mm-hmm. of it, having that time where you can just like relax,
yeah, decompress. Yeah, for sure.
That's so important.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Last question before we get into rapid fire. We'd love to know, what's your biggest lesson you've learned from the game?
I think it would probably be like, I've learned how to like show up and how to perform when I'm not at my best. And like what 100% of like a not great day like kind of looks like, and that it's not obviously my ideal 100%, but like, again, there's a lot of games in the season. It's a longer season now. You know, with all the different coaching changes and player changes, and just again, like things have gotten way better, but like for most of my career, I've been like in a constant state of chaos in this league, whether it's like at the league level or at the team level that I've been on. So I think, I don't know if you want to call it like perseverance or kind of like grit, like I don't know how you'd sum it up, but kind of that ability to whatever is unfolding like around me, to put like bring my best effort and my best attitude every day. And again, sometimes that's going to result in like a great performance, and sometimes it's like not going to be great. But I think learning to still bring whatever 100% of me like that particular day looks like is probably something that I've learned throughout my experiences.
And that's a great skill set to have, that adaptability and everything, because you can only control yourself. You can't control the outside circumstances and situations. And if you can only perform great when everything else is going great, then you're not very much. So it's a good lesson to have learned through sports, for sure.
Yep, definitely.
Should we jump into some rapid fire questions, you guys? Yeah.
Do it.
Cool. All right. A couple random questions. Nothing too difficult.
Okay.
What is your go-to coffee order?
Mocha, whole milk. I learned that you have to say like pronunciate, because half the time they give me oat milk. I don't know how they sell similar. I saw Bethany Balser like tweeted something last week, like the opposite. She wants oat milk and they gave her whole milk. I'm like, whole, like, I don't know, but probably a mocha or a vanilla latte
with a hard W.
Yes, exactly. Or I'm just, we're joking, like Andy Sullivan and Tori and I are like, we're going to start saying cow milk.
Yeah, I was just going to say, cow milk to the udders.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be
funny. That's the new symbol.
Yeah. Like the whole milk, please. What's your favorite drill at practice?
Ooh, honestly, probably rondos. Yeah, I'm a big rondos girl. Whether it's, I like it when it's like more formal, like, so we'll do it before practice. I kind of chill, but like, I like when it's like competitive, like you're going in or there's different divisions, you can move up. But yeah, I think just like the game simplified, it's summed up by rondos.
Love it. What's your favorite team to watch?
Probably Man City and also Bayern. I'm a big Pep Guardiola fan. He was the head coach at Bayern when I was there, and I used to be able to watch his sessions from like lunch, basically, at the cafeteria. So pretty much wherever Pep goes, I'm a fan of that team.
Do you have a favorite player or athlete to watch?
I wouldn't say so. I don't think I can pinpoint one player. I mean, on the tennis side, I really like Rafa. Soccer. I've always been a Sergio Ramos fan, for obvious reasons. And then, yeah, we play the same position. But no, I think I'm definitely more of like a someone who watches, and maybe on that day is like, oh, like they're having a really good game, or like, yeah, but I don't think I could say like, oh, this is my favorite like all-time athlete. I think everyone's so great, honestly, is probably the thing.
Did you have anyone specific when you were little that you were like, I want to be them when I grow up?
I mean, definitely from like the 99 World Cup, like I was like all over Brandi Chastain. Like that was just like, and I think too, like her being more of a defender, I was like, okay, like she scores some goals, but she also plays like defense. So yeah, I think Brandy and like Michelle Akers, I think I was like too young to really appreciate her.
That's so funny you say that.
Yeah,
such a hindsight, like in hindsight now that I'm like grown and matured, I'm like, holy crap, I'm like, she was ridiculous, and I don't know why I didn't
realize. And I think that's like what, like, honestly, like if you could pinpoint like what the U.S. has been lacking for a while, or like they're one, it's like they need a Michelle Akers type, like, and it's a very, obviously it's a very difficult like role to play, but I think that's like the one player that I think if you could sum up like what would like make the U.S. like unbeatable, it's like if they had a Michelle Akers.
I never thought about that way. Makes sense though.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite book?
Ooh, probably Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. Yeah, that was
a few weeks ago too.
Yeah, that was like an assigned reading if you were on like the leadership council at UNC. And a lot of our like core values from there came from like quotes from that book. So yeah, I think if I had to choose one book, it would probably be that.
If you had a post-game sandwich named after you, what kind of sandwich would it be?
I mean, probably at this point after my antics last year, like, I don't know, the double bird or something, probably. I was like,
what would be on?
Chicken.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Chicken, a lot of hot sauce.
Spicy.
Yeah, really, really, really spicy with a side of regret after eating it.
A little yellow card just wedged into the sandwich. That's a little.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I love that.
Yeah.
That was good. That's the best answer yet on that by far.
And the last question is, what is your biggest soccer role problem?
Oh boy. Gosh, biggest soccer girl problem. Oh, I mean, honestly, probably my sock tan line. It's like crazy. And girls are always like, it never goes away. Even in the winter, it gets a little more subtle. But like after one day in Florida, it's like I've been in the sun for like 6 months. And girls are like, why don't you like try and fix it? I'm like, no, like you don't understand. Like it's pretty much permanent. Like I could not, like there's no self tanner or like, you know, obviously for like health reasons, I'm not going to like go into a tanning bed. Like, but it really, like I will be interested to see like when I do stop playing, like I might keep track of how long it takes.
You like, just can away. Move down to like an ankle sock and just start a new one and you can have, like,
yeah.
A whole-
yeah, I just, it's just really bad. Like people, because I'm not really like a big, I usually am barefoot, like, or like barefoot in my sneakers. And people are like, Amber, it still looks like you have socks on. You're just missing like the Nike. So that's probably my biggest issue. Biggest soccer girl problem is my, just specifically my, I mean, my arm tan line is pretty bad too, but that's a little like self-induced. So my sock tan line is bad.
Love it. I feel like every soccer coach also has that
problem. Yeah, no, it's bad. Like when you see like some of our coaches like without like socks on, you're like, wow, you know, yeah, like, but at least they can, like last night we had a really nice event at our owner's house down here, and I was like, I cannot wear a dress because it's like so bad. So I was like, oh well, it looks like we're wearing like a pantsuit type thing. But yeah.
That's okay.
Well, Amber, thank you so much for coming on. It was great to get to know you a little more. We really appreciate it. And we hope you have a great season.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Hope we get to see you play in person soon.
Yeah, sounds good. Let me know.
And we're all going to just go to the next sandwich shop and say, I'll have the double bird. And we'll see what
happens. Honestly, it should. I hope there's like some TIFO or something at Audi this season, season about it. That'd be pretty
sweet. That would be really fun. I like that.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Thanks so much, Amber. Have a great
day. No problem. Bye.
Thank you.
Yep.